This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. How do you make yourself indispensable? How indispensable do you believe yourself to be right now to your employer, to your company, to your organization, to your customers, to anyone you rely on to regularly exchange value with? How indispensable are you? How essential are you to your business, to your customers, to your company? How essential are you? What would happen if you disappeared? Could they move on and replace you? Or would they hurt a little bit? Being indispensable, especially today, is absolutely crucial. If you work for a company, are you indispensable or are you easily replaceable? Right? How hard would it be for somebody to find another person that can do what you do, maybe even better and for less? If you run your own business, are your products and services indispensable or can they be easily replaced or replicated? How hard would it be for someone in your space to provide customers with something similar or better, but for less? How hard would it be for a newcomer to enter your space and render your current business model obsolete? If you're a surgeon, how many more years do you think you've got before a robot can come along and perform the same surgeries you specialize in, but with more precision? Nobody's safe. We need to constantly be evolving. As times change and things grow and new technologies arise, we've got to evolve along with those if we want to make sure that we remain an essential part of the lives of those we serve and our customers, our clients, our employers, our company. You know, we got to make sure that we remain indispensable or continue to get closer and closer to indispensability. Because if not, you know, something might come along and just drive us out of what we do. And then what happens, right? So it really doesn't matter who you are, what you do, if you're not constantly and consistently looking for new ways to upgrade your skills, then you're eventually going to become dispensable. The way to counteract this is to ensure you do everything within your control to show your company or your customers how indispensable you really are, how essential and valuable you really are. So how do you do that? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode today. For me personally, when I think about indispensability, my mind just defaults to thinking in terms of being an indispensable professional in business and my career. And, you know, for instance, if you're an employee, your goal might be to become an indispensable member of your division or your company. If you're an entrepreneur, your goal might be to be a provider of products or services that are an indispensable part of people's lives. But these ideas that we're talking about can be just as easily applied to your personal life as well. If you play sports, right, you'd likely want to prove yourself to be the fastest, strongest, smartest person playing your position, which would then make you an indispensable part of the team. They would hurt, potentially lose if you weren't there, if you missed a game. Right? If you're in a romantic relationship, you're in a marriage, you got a husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you obviously need to make sure that you and your partner see one another as indispensable. Absolutely and unconditionally in love with one another. So, but for the sake of this piece, this podcast today, we're going to leave the personal realm alone and we're just going to focus on the professional realm. We're going to talk about how you can make yourself indispensable in your professional life, whether you work for an organization, a company, if you have an employer, or whether you are running your own business and you're an entrepreneur. We'll touch on both areas and we'll talk about how you can make yourself an indispensable part of your employer's life, your organization's life, or your customer's lives. So let's dive right in. There are two key areas that you want to develop in order to make yourself indispensable. Let's talk about the first one. Number one is you want to develop a thirst for knowledge. You want to always be learning. There are tons of ways to get your knowledge game up these days. You can read books, you can find role models, you can take a few courses, go to seminars, watch videos, tutorials. You can even take online university courses, right? The list just goes on and on and on. But here are a couple of my best suggestions in terms of getting your knowledge game up and getting the most knowledge for the time that you have. So you want to set aside some time every single day or every week, a few hours or at least an hour a day, even 30 minutes a day, to learn more about your industry. And here's how to do that. So what I would suggest is finding the top five books in your industry. Then you want to read them all, obviously, highlighting and taking notes on the best big ideas and actionable insights that you can find from each book. And you want to ask yourself, though, the following key questions during your reading and after your reading. Just ask yourself the following questions as you read each of these books, and when you're done as well, look at them. The first question is, what if any common principles did I find in these books, right? If there were any principles that these books, these five books in my industry that I found, these top five books, what do they have in common? Are the authors describing the same things in different words? And then you want to ask yourself, how would I summarize each of these books in one single sentence? If there was one sentence that I could boil these books down to, what would it be? Right? You want to usually just think of the most actionable thing, right? So, for instance, if you were reading a book about sales, right? And there was the book was just overwhelmingly about building rapport with customers, and that was a big thing that you learned from that book, then you might want to say, okay, in one sentence, if you could distill it down into one single sentence that's actionable, what would that be? So then that would be maybe, you know, without building rapport, there is no sale, for instance. So that's a good reminder for you to highlight from that book, a key idea from that book that you really need to remember, the key takeaway, the big idea, the most important thing from that book. Usually most books are written around themes. They'll figure out one single problem and then they want to solve it throughout the entire book. And they'll give endless examples and talk about different ways in which you can, you know, solve the problem from that book. And for in this case, for instance, it's about selling. And they would start with the one theme of building rapport. And then they would say that's the most important thing. And so you would usually realize that pretty quickly. The key idea here is for you to extract the single biggest idea and distill it into a sentence so you could say, okay, this one's about building rapport and why that's so important and how I got to do that first every time I begin a sales interaction with a potential customer. Boom. Once I can build rapport, then I can move on to the other elements of making that sale. But I know that if I don't build rapport, then I can't make that sale. You see what I'm saying? So you want to take notes on these books. Find the top five books, take notes on them, highlight them, write inside of them, and then after you do that, you want to think of what's one thing that I can do from each book that I can apply immediately, right? What's one thing that I can do immediately? So if we go from that past example that we just discussed a moment ago about building rapport and why that's so important and how you can't move on and the most likely the customer won't buy from you unless they know you, like you, have rapport with you, then you might want to say, okay, one thing I need to do from this book that I just learned about building rapport is I need to figure out ways to open conversations with customers in the friendliest way. And then you begin to go about researching that and figuring that out and then maybe even role playing certain things and lines and conversation starters and different little tiny things that you can do with other people. And you start, you know, practicing. So that's one thing that you can do from that book. That's one actionable insight that you can apply immediately. And so basically, long story short, with this first suggestion in terms of developing a thirst for knowledge, always being hungry to learn more about your industry, the first thing that you need to know about why this is so incredibly important this 5-book strategy is that by the time you're done, you're going to know more than 90% of the people in your industry. And I'm being generous with that figure. It's probably more like 98%. You know, it's going to be you and that small group of people in your industry that have been doing it for a long time. It took them years upon years, maybe even decades, to achieve this level of mastery. But you, if you really read through these books one by one by one, extract those big ideas, distill them down, and also find the commonalities among the 5 books, you will be so much farther ahead than everybody else. And if you just take that information and actually use it, you'll blow everybody away. And so, in addition to learning about everything in your industry, let's move on to the next thing. I'd also suggest learning what some people call soft skills. So, selling is a soft skill. Public speaking is a soft skill, quote unquote. Writing is a soft skill. The idea is for you to be able to learn these things and flexibly adapt regardless of what industry you're in. If you can speak in public or if you can speak in front of groups of people, this is something that a lot of people are way too scared to do. If you can do that, if you can overcome those butterflies and that fear that you feel and actually get yourself to do it, the level of respect that you'll gain just from being able to do this consistently, which of course will then make you better and better, I mean, that's huge in and of itself. I would say that being able to communicate both in front of groups of people audibly as well as with the written word, those two skills, being able to communicate effectively through speaking as well as through writing, if you can do those and you can do those well and you're willing to do them consistently, I can confidently say that they will be the two biggest contributors to your career success. I mean, it's something you can apply to everything, every area. So the first thing to do in terms of gaining your knowledge, becoming indispensable, is to find those top 5 books in your industry, get as specific as possible. If you're in the pharmaceutical sales industry, then you want to find the best books on pharmaceutical sales. If you are in online business, right? You want to find the 5 best books on doing online business and marketing yourself and your products and your services online. That's what I did. And I distilled them down. I looked for commonalities. I figured out what I needed to do in order to position myself for success, my business for success in the future. And then you also want to find some soft skills that you can learn to develop and learn how to develop yourself in those areas. Soft skills like selling, speaking, writing. You could go to Toastmasters. You could do one-on-one role playing with people. There's so many things you can do to develop your soft skills, which is not a term I like, by the way. Soft skills? Come on. Soft? I don't really think it's... whatever. Let's move on. All right, so now you've got 2 great ways to feed your mind and develop your knowledge. But you know what? Knowing more is not going to teach you how to make yourself indispensable. Knowledge is not enough. There are far too many people who know a lot but do too little. So let's talk about the next step. And a great way to kind of transition into it would be for me to quote a really good line here from the author Seth Godin's book, Lynchpin. And that is this. Depth of knowledge, he says, is rarely sufficient all by itself to turn someone into a linchpin. Again, depth of knowledge is rarely sufficient all by itself to turn someone into a linchpin. His word, this terminology, linchpin, is pretty much synonymous with being indispensable. In fact, the subtitle of that book I just quoted from is Are You Indispensable? And the name of the book, again, is Lynchpin. And he uses that word to describe somebody who is so essential, so important to their customers or those they serve or their organization or their company they work for, their employer, that they would hurt if they weren't there. Right? If something happened, they would hurt. And the likelihood of them getting let go by their employer is super slim to none so long as they remain the linchpin, so long as they remain as indispensable as possible. So, if depth of knowledge is really sufficient to help you become indispensable, right? You can know all the stuff in the world, but if that still isn't going to make you indispensable, then what is? Of course, it's action. In addition to developing a thirst for knowledge, we've also got to develop a willingness to apply it. So that's the second piece here, the second area of focus. You know, I was at a business conference recently, and, you know, the tickets were a little spendy by most standards compared to other business conferences, especially short ones like the one I was attending. They were $1,200 per person to attend, and it was a four-hour conference. And after the first 45 minutes, you know, one of the guys that's in the conference with us, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, boom, he gets up, grabs his stuff, and he just bounces. He just leaves. He walks out the door. And, you know, I thought, okay, the students go take a bathroom break or something like that. But, you know, homeboy never walked back into the conference hall. He left. $1,200 per ticket, per person for this business conference. This guy gets up after the first 45 minutes, boom, just leaves. And I couldn't help but wonder, like, why did this dude just drop $1,200 to walk out before the first quarter? And after the conference, you know, ironically enough, I saw him in the lobby. And so he was still there four and a half hours later. And, you know, he's sitting in the lobby of this, it was at a hotel. And, you know, he's sitting in the lobby of the hotel where the conference was held, and he's just ferociously typing away on his laptop. And so out of curiosity, you know, I hadn't spoken to him or anything like that. I just walked up to him and I said, "Hey man, I couldn't help but notice that you got up and left less than an hour into the seminar." Like, before I could finish my sentence, he looks up, right? And he looks up from his laptop with a slight grin forming on his face, and he goes, "Well, dude, when you learn something valuable, you need to take immediate action on that shit." Literally, word for word, that's what he says. So basically, in other words, you know, within the first 45 minutes, this guy learned a very important idea, piece of knowledge, a principle from this conference that he could apply to his business. And he thought, you know what, this idea is big enough that it was worth it for me to pay this ticket. It's gonna pay for this ticket and more. So I'm gonna get out of here right now and apply this idea immediately to help my business succeed. And boom, that's why we're there in the first place. We want to learn things that we don't know that we can apply to our business to propel it forward, to make it more profitable. And he got one of those ideas from this conference. So as soon as he got it, he left and he started applying it. So here's the big idea, the simple tip that will change your life, completely transform your life if you apply it regularly. Here it is. As soon as you learn something new and important that's applicable to you, figure out how you can apply it immediately. Take immediate action. It's a lot like getting a good idea, right? Practical wisdom tells us that the mind is better at coming up with ideas than it is at storing them. So in other words, if we don't write them down, those ideas immediately, then we might lose them. Same thing applies to when we learn new things from other people or when we're taught something. If we learn an important idea, an important principle, we need to apply it immediately. When the emotional iron is hot, we got to strike, baby. So as soon as you learn something new, figure out how you can apply it immediately. Write it down, or at least get started with making a plan, right? Being willing to learn, that's the first step to becoming indispensable. But unless we follow those learnings up with immediate action, or at least plans for taking action in the future, we're probably going to lose out on some incredible, incredible opportunities. So again, remember, knowledge is nothing without action. Got a friend, to give you another example, who dreams of quitting his corporate gig and starting his own business. He's read every best-selling business book out there, but he continues to stop himself from starting his own business, from getting started. You know, he's got the knowledge, he knows everything he needs to do, but he lacks the willingness to apply that knowledge. You know, I know scores of unsuccessful geniuses just like that. They're smart, but they're scared. They may know what to do, they may know how to do it, but they simply are not willing to apply any of that knowledge in the real world. Why? Why? There are millions of reasons why people don't take action, and almost all of them lead back to fear. And this is what keeps geniuses in the basement while the guy with the bias to action takes the elevator up to the C-suite. Who do you want to be? You want to be the smart guy who knows all the stuff but is too afraid to take action? Or you want to be the guy who learned something new, might not be as much of a genius as, you know, everybody else, or may not be the smartest guy in the organization or doing what he does, but he's the one who's got the highest bias towards action. So that's what counts at the end of the day. You know, if one guy feels fear and hides, well, the other guy feels fear and manages to muster up enough courage to reveal himself, to take action, or herself. You know, they both feel the fear, but only one of those people takes action. And it's usually the guy who isn't not necessarily, it doesn't mean that he's not afraid or she's not afraid. If you're, these people that take action, you know, they're not any less afraid than anybody else. They're just willing to take action because they know that the success that is on the other side is more important than the fear that they're feeling in this moment. They know that through this lack of comfort, this sense of fear and nervousness and anxiety, comes greatness, comes meaning, comes growth. So what's important is that you take action. What's important is that you get going. What's important is that you feel the fear, take action anyway. So here are a few suggestions for you to start doing this. Remember the suggestions that I gave you just a second ago, or a few minutes ago rather, about developing a thirst for knowledge that was the first step to becoming indispensable? So now you want to ask yourself, how can you turn that knowledge into action, right? You could look for opportunities to speak up in front of groups of people about your industry. You could volunteer to do presentations. You could start an industry-relevant blog and publish your thoughts and ideas on that every single week, or even more frequently if you want. Which, by the way, if you can start a blog about your industry and just post your thoughts about it once a week, that might be the most valuable thing that you can do, because most people are too afraid to just start a little website, which is very simple to do, and to then just post their thoughts on it. There's this weird thing, just people either are too lazy or too afraid to do it. You can do that. And if you just do that and you stay consistent with it and you stay on topic with it, then you can become one of the foremost experts in your industry if you do it regularly. Now, let's talk about if you run your own business. You know, you want to be the one who initiates action immediately upon learning a new technique or tactic, like the guy that I saw at the conference, right? He's like, oh, you got to take immediate action on that shit. So as soon as you learn a new technique, tactic, or principle that could have a measurable impact on your business, boom, initiate action immediately. Figure out how you can apply it. If you work for a company, be the one who volunteers to test things first. You know, when your boss gives you advice, it makes sense to you, apply it and report back with results. And finally, don't be afraid, by the way, to speak up and offer your input or ask questions. It seems that, you know, in the modern, this corporate Game of Thrones environment, it tends to really value people that speak up and position themselves as assertive, maybe a little aggressive, even if those people are idiots, right? An idiot who speaks up still contributes more than a genius who keeps quiet, even if the only contribution he makes is to set an example of what not to say, right? Just don't be afraid to speak up. That's the point here. Got to be willing to apply what you learn and to do so immediately and regularly. Now, of course, this means leaning into fear. It means feeling fear, and it means also leaning into it, going towards it. It means taking strategic risks. It means being willing to do what you don't know how to do so that you can grow into becoming the best at what you do. So the bottom line here is this. If you want to become indispensable, you want to make yourself indispensable, you've got to develop a thirst for knowledge and a willingness to apply it. Write that down. Develop a thirst for knowledge and a willingness to apply it. Write it down with a big fat Sharpie and post it up somewhere that you can see it every single day. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your in your office cubicle or on the wall or somewhere that you can see it. Post it up and have it right there on the AC ventilator thingy in your car on your way to work so you can look at it. And just always have this idea in front of you, these two things. If I want to be indispensable, or if I want to remain indispensable and essential to the lives of those I serve, I've got to be willing to always develop my knowledge, upgrade my skills, have this thirst for knowledge, and consistently have a willingness, be willing to apply it. If you can do those things, not only will you be indispensable, but you'll be living like you give a damn. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to talking to you guys on the next episode. I love you guys, man. Thank you so much for the emails that you guys send, for sharing these episodes with your friends and family and your networks, and just being a listener. You know, I really appreciate you guys. If you have questions, in any specific self-improvement questions, personal development questions that you want to have answered on the podcast, or career-related questions, you know, feel free to shoot them my way. My email address is questions@deanbukhari.com. That's questions, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N-S, at deanbukhari.com. Hit me up with your questions. I'll answer them live here on the podcast. Until next time, again, go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.